There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. It is Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. A couple hours and we get to hang out every weekday, Monday through Friday. So show is Midday Mobile. My name is Sean. I'm glad you're there. I'm glad I'm right here. A phone number that puts us together, text line that puts us together, 251-343-0106. And it's one of those days when somebody's, it's the fire hose. It's the cliche of the fire hose, which, by the way, speaking of cliches, I did this yesterday. I'm going to continue to do this, let you know that you're listening to a sustainable talk radio show. Now, in today's world where everything is sustainable, right, that they're going to tell you this is a sustainable talk radio show, has been for 13 years and will continue to be sustainable. So you can feel good about listening to the show. I don't know what it means. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's sustainable. But this, drinking through the fire hose and news-wise today, so much to do in today's show. It was such a busy news cycle, it actually even pushed that lottery story down. If there wouldn't have been so much happening, it would be everybody talking about how much the mega billions, right? It's mega billions now. Which, side note, there's somebody in working with you, somebody at your shop, somebody at your office, that will say this in the next couple days. Well, I guess it's gone to a billion. I think I'm going to go over there and get me a ticket. Because I worked with these people over the years. I'd say, so, buddy, 10 million wouldn't help the family budget there? They'd be like, it's $1 billion. I guess it's worth me going and getting a lottery ticket now. All right. But like I said, so much has pushed that down the stack. And one of the big stories as we get started in today's show is the Eastern Shore Mobile MPOs unanimously voting to advance the Bayway project and the Mobile River Bridge. We'll get to that in just a second. Line up the show for today if you're just tuning in. Coming up at 12:30, 12:35, Ted Nugent, who's going to be in town on Sunday night here, is going to join me. Lots to talk about with Uncle Ted. It's been a couple decades since I've gotten to talk to that man, so it should be fun. Also, Cameron Smith from AL.com has an interesting piece, opinion piece up at AL.com about the Republicans not standing in the way of same-sex marriage and any kind of idea of the sanctity of marriage or whatever the act that they pushed through in Washington. We'll get into that coming up in hour number two. But I said this to Jeff Poor a second ago at the close of his show. If you say your voice doesn't influence politicians, now does it influence them as much as you want? Probably not. But I have been here through every step of this bridge discussion, right? We've done weeks worth of radio over the years about this, and maybe even more than that, months, maybe years worth of years on this subject. It was in 2019, in January 2019, when the dam broke loose on this show, to be frank with you, when I had members of ALDOT on the show with me. We were talking about the bridge plan, and they said necessarily that they would toll the Wallace Tunnel and the new bridge. Remember that? They said because if they didn't, then people would just take the free route. And you could have heard a pin drop in here when we were having that interview back then. That started just a tidal wave of pushback on the plan. It already had had some pushback, but it really started a tidal wave back then. I still have in my office things that have been dropped off to me during that period of time. I have yard signs that is like the no toll symbol. I have bumper stickers that were given to me. I have all this stuff still in my office. So we have been in the trenches with this since the word go. I have watched this evolve, and that is because of this grassroots pushback on what was rolled out back then. The public-private partnership, the no free route, all that. So to say there's no change has been made is inaccurate, which also, I mean, we had a documentary. Documentarian came out of Houston, Texas, was doing documentary about tolling around the country. I sat in this studio and shot six, I don't know, let's say 4 hours worth of video with us in here. I don't know. We'll have to search that, Leanne, and see if that that documentary ever popped up, and maybe we can post it up and we can watch it. See, you know, what it, he never sent me the final copy, so I don't know. Maybe it's on the cutting room floor. But what's happened today, this is a note coming from the MPOs, says the Eastern Shore and Mobile Metropolitan Planning Organization, MPOs, today unanimously voted to advance the Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project by including it in their transportation improvement plans. So from here on, Metropolitan Planning Organizations, or MPOs, and the Transportation Improvement Plans, that acronym is TIP, or the TIPS. All right, so it goes on to say, today's TIP votes are the most significant steps to date in a new effort to move forward with a I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway, which began in earnest in December of 2021. In December, the Eastern Shore and Mobile MPOs unanimously agreed on a new locally driven framework, and they would support for this project. Following the release of the framework, the Alabama Department of Transportation worked to put together a plan that met the criteria spelled out by the local officials in the MPOs. All right. It goes on to say, today's vote marks the adoption of that framework into a formal plan forward and allows for the use of $125 million in federal infra grant funds. We've talked about this at length. That's that money that outgoing Senator Shelby had put to this project. It is a amount of money that had, I don't know when the expiration date is, but it's not too far from now. So this project had to be green-lighted to be able to keep that $125 million. Okay, so that was something that we had been talking about for a while. Then just a few months ago, remember, ALDOT came in and said, well, the state would put $250 million with it as well. Still, of course, that's a long poke from there to $2 point something billion in this plan. I've heard 2.1 to 2.7 in the cost for this. Going down there, it says, okay, here's the plan details. And it, by the way, it has, well, look at reaction from both sides of the bay. Let's do that first. Reactions from both sides of the bay. Today's vote was a landmark moment for Baldwin County, said Eastern Shore MPO Chairman and Fairhope City Council Member Jack Burrell. He's been on with us before. So the Eastern Shore has grown by leaps and bounds over the last decades, and our infrastructure has not kept pace. Today's vote paves the way for providing traffic relief we need in a way that makes sense for Baldwin County drivers. And it goes on in the quote here. And then on the other side of the bay, it says, there's a quote from Mobile MPO Chairman and Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, who said, I'm proud of the constructive, cooperative way the Mobile and Eastern Shore MPOs are working towards this shared vision. Putting the project on the two MPO TIPS makes it available for additional federal funding and puts our $125 million in InfraGrant to use. Today's vote keeps this project moving forward in the same spirit of cooperation and ensures this critical project is back on track. All right, so what you want to know is, how's it going to work? Right? I mean, that's, if we get down to it. So in their memo that came out today, here's what it says. So the plan details include, and I think this is exactly what we talked about a few months ago. I don't think there are any changes on this, but it says plan detail includes, number one here, a comprehensive plan with a new Mobile River Bridge and a new bayway that meets capacity and safety needs that can be built in 5 years. Second here, free, no toll routes on the Causeway, Wallace Tunnel, Bankhead Tunnel, and Africatown Bridge. Three, toll options of $250 for passenger vehicles and $18 for trucks. Number four here, an unlimited use option for $40 per month, which is under $1 per trip for daily commuters between Mobile and Baldwin counties. Then it says toll revenue is to be used only to pay down project debt, with tolling to end once the debt is paid off. That's a key. I think there was a toll bridge in Louisiana that kept taking tolls for a long time after they had paid off the debt. But they said as soon as the debt is paid, then the tolling will end. Then goes on to say all infrastructure to be owned and operated by the state of Alabama with no private concessionaire. Remember, that was a big question before. So no private concessionaire. It will be owned by the state of Alabama, which lets me, I mean, guess too that the upkeep, I guess, would come through the state as well. Said a contribution of at least $250 million in state funding in addition to the $125 million in federal funding through the Infra Grant. MPO oversight of the plan will continue as pre-construction and construction moves forward. Additional public hearings related to the environmental impact study will be held after it is updated. They've been doing environmental impact studies for, 20 years maybe on this? So I guess they have to tweak it. I hope they don't have to redo the whole thing. It says, pending finalized funding, the construction of the new Mobile River Bridge and Bayway would begin in late 2023, so next year by my calculations, and be complete by 2028. That keeps it in that five-year window that they're talking about. Now, your reaction to this, is this acceptable? Now, not saying you love it. I mean, I want to hear from you. I mean, if you love it, that's okay. We could talk to you. If you hate it, we can talk to you. Is it acceptable? I think that's one of the more interesting conversations. Is this something that you can get on board with? You think this is our best chance at this? Because if we blow this up, not literally, I'm not calling for, would there ever be another way to do this? And I get it. The arguments, and we can go to the phones when we come back here. The arguments about it's a federal highway. We've already paid taxes. I get that. We've had these discussions. It seems like that's up against the wall. Hey, when we started this, the old days of funding were 80-20. 80% federal, 20% coming from state, municipalities, counties, those kind of things. Well, in the decade and a half that we've been discussing this, that has flipped. It has flipped elsewhere in the country, too, to where it's 20% in federal money and 80% local. I don't like it either, but that's the thing that has happened across the country. We come back, we can talk about the transponders, talk about the trucks. I'm going to hopefully get Mark Colson from the Alabama Trucking Association on with me this week to talk about the reaction from truckers who's going to be paying, it looks like, $18. I thought it was going to be $15. Now it looks like it's $18 for them coming across. Local truck rates will be less, I remember. So, we'll look at some of the money here, too, because we got to find that additional money, right? You got $125 million, which is chump change in today's world, federal infra grant, $250 million coming from ALDOT. Looks like there's a few billion we got to make up here in this, and we'll talk about that when we come back. More of Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1222, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. On the way, Uncle Ted Nugent. He'll be in town Sunday for a rock and roll show, but we got lots more to talk about with him coming up in the second half of this hour. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey, and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK, doing great work in Mobile and Baldwin County. 14 years of it now. You got junk, you want it gone? Yeah, they're the pros to do it. It could be inside your house, outside your house, storage unit, house you're getting ready to sell, whatever. I mean, you got junk, you want it gone, you need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And setting that appointment, really easy. Online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone, the name is the number, and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And you'll love this. They make a good old-fashioned appointment, right? They find a day that works for you, window of time that works for you. They set an appointment. They show up. All you got to do is point out at the stuff you want gone. They'll total it up, say, here's what it cost. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. Great big national name company, but a friend of mine, local guy, homeboy, Trey, and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So give them a call or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, to the text line here. Still people like David pushing back on the sustainability of this radio show. This is like everything else out there now. I mean, it happened the other day when the BlackRock ESG fund, Wall Street traded fund, said the fund was sustainable. I said, well, so is this show. So we'll continue with the play of that game. All right. Let's see. Trey says, a question. How important is $150 million from the feds if the price tag is $2.7 billion? Trey, you scratch your head like I do on this one. There's more possibility for federal grant money. We'll get into that in just a second. Dirt Digger, does the new bridge have some kind of fire protection because the new battery-powered vehicles are harder to put fires out? Just wondering. Dirt Digger, there's a question that you asked that I have no idea, but I can ask it and find out. Yeah, IT Jesus, by the time $2.50 pays off the debt, we will need a new bridge, quite possibly, or we'll be flying with jetpacks. Wasn't that supposed to happen? Weren't we supposed to be jetpacking around? You seen those things that people put in the water, like jetpacks in the water? Those things look cool. But it goes on to say the traffic going through the Bankhead will become so bad that most people will just pay the toll. I'm sure that's what they're betting on anyway. I think you're probably right there. Mr. Valentine, Wallace Tunnel and Bayway, along with the Dolly Parton Bridge, and the... and roadway, both very expensive with no toll. Taxpayer fuel tax, then tolled. Maybe just a toll at every state line. Do you think the general public understands the whole Bayway will be tolled or causeway traffic implications? Sad, it seems your group has rolled over and accepted it, thought better of you. Pragmatism, maybe. I don't know if I've rolled over. I mean, I've fought that fight pretty darn hard starting in 2019. I sometimes realize that this may be the best chance at it. But if you disagree, that's worth talking about, too. How are we going to... I mean, I can agree with you all day long, Mr. Valentine, like in spirit, but it doesn't change what they're going to do. You know, I mean, what adjustments, what can we make, what victories can we get in this that aren't 100%? Or maybe it's worth just, but I don't know how you stop it. I really don't. It goes on to say, everybody that's so proud of this can afford a toll. The working man can't. Vote anybody out with their finger on it. Mayors, councilors, commissioners, Senate, Congress, etc. Don't feed the bears. They always want more. Wrong to toll a once free route. Yeah, I mean, that's like semi-correct, right? I mean, because they're not going to toll the Wallace Tunnel. But the Bayway, you're not going to be able to get back on the Bayway without paying the toll. You'd have to go on the causeway, which was, you know, tolled to build. They tolled to build the causeway. Bobby, is the Gulf Shores Bridge going to be built? I do not know. I know that there's a lot of discussion about that. I know Jeff had some interviews, and John Sharp's written a couple stories, but I don't know if there's anything concrete on that yet. Good. Mike's going to be there to see Uncle Ted on Sunday. I'll see you there. IT Jesus, to the same point, I-10 is currently free all the way to California. Yeah, I've driven that. Used to drive it a good bit, a couple times a year from Mobile, Los Angeles when I was a young man. I don't remember. Yeah. No, I mean, by the time you get into, Lord knows that the jumble, once you get into, you pass through like Ontario, California, and you continue west, and there's all kind of, I don't know if I was, if any toll roads out there. I don't think so. Goes on to say, after this bridge, it won't be. But here, I mean, here's a question. Can you stop this? Is there a way to get them to build this without a toll? And if there is, I'd like to talk about it. I mean, I'm going to dig my heels in, but how would you go about this again and try to change this? Because I'd love to not pay a toll. I'm not looking to pay a toll. Which, by the way, the funding on the project, and my man Brendan Kirby over at Fox 10, always good at this. He said funding for the project breaks down like this, and we've talked about some of this: the $125 million in infra grant money, the $250 million in state funding. Then he adds in $1.2 billion in other funding, including tolls, and $1.13 billion in federal funding. That part, that last one is interesting to me, where that additional $1.13 billion in federal funding is coming from. I don't know that any of those are guaranteed. We've had a lot of conversations about that. But they're saying, so $1.13 billion in federal, $125 in other federal, $250 in state, and $1.2 billion in other funding, including tolls. He goes on to write, in addition, state officials have sought an additional $500 million so-called mega grant offered to large, hard-to-fund transportation projects. Goes on to say, few doubt the need for the bridge, according to state transportation data. Wallace Tunnel was built for the average traffic volume of 35,000 vehicles per day. That daily average now sits at about 80,000, with vehicles exceeding 100,000 on peak days, according to state transportation data. Department projects a daily average of 104,000 by 2045, which would see traffic on a typical day compared to the busiest days currently. So that's where it stands. All right, believe me, we will continue to talk about this, to get your ideas on this, get your voice, because if you don't think your voice makes any difference, though, I'll say this, it made a heck of a difference back in 2019. A lot of changes from where we were then to where we are now. Coming back, Ted Nugent joins us. He's got a show here Sunday night. We'll talk to him about rock and roll, talking about the Constitution, talk about the outdoors, the state of our government, and whatever else he wants to throw in the mix. Be right back. This is Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. Real treat this next half hour to get a guest. It's been 20 years since I talked to this man. I was a rock and roll disc jockey back in the days. 20 years later, my life as a talk show host here. I'm probably more excited than I was back then to talk to this man. He's either, I don't know, we'll have him answer this, the last of a breed or maybe just a one-of-a-kind American. Ladies and gentlemen, Ted Nugent joins us now on the Midday Mobile. Uncle Ted, thanks for your time.
Well, my pleasure, Sean. A happy, happy summertime to everybody down there in the wilds of Alabama. I can't wait to get down there and rock out.
We're excited. Yes, Sunday night show at the Soul Kitchen. Tickets on sale through soulkitchen.com or all things Nugent over at tednugent.com. I'm going to talk some rock and roll with you here in just a little bit, like you and I did years ago. But in my incarnation now, Ted, as a talk show host for the last couple of decades, I got to talk to you about you as an American, a Second Amendment advocate, a person that is a voice, I think, for regular folks, and you're a good, loud, and strong voice for that. So we thank you for it. Talk about that. Do you, this other part of your life now?
Well, you know, yeah, I play some dangerous guitar. I got a great band. I got Greg Smith on bass guitar and Jason Hartless on drums, probably the definitive, ultimate grinding rhythm section any music lover could ever pray for. So I want to warn people down there, this is the best tour of my life, Sean, that is gravity-defying and celebrated beyond your wildest dreams. So, yeah, I make killer rhythm and blues and rock and roll, and I've been a dedicated musician touring for over 60 years. And yeah, I've sold 40 million records, and I'm having the time of my life in the insanity of 2022, but I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a rancher. I'm a farmer. I'm a guide and outfitter for a hunting operation that my son and I operate for many years now. And I'm an entrepreneur. I employ people in all 50 states. I employ people all around the world. The goofy guitar player from Detroit employs thousands and thousands of people every year since 1965. The American dream. It starts with work ethic, vision, dreams, that man in the arena, you know, defiance, that swirling dust of effort and challenge and risk. So, yeah, the music represents that oftentimes, not all the time. I did write Wango Tango, obviously, and I meant it. So I can touch any possible nerve and emotion and consideration, thought process, especially the critical thinking imperative of an American. And when I started getting attacked, I mean, literally stupid, vicious attacked because I carried a gun, and I eat venison, literally, Sean. A lot of people down there are going, well, why would they attack you for that?
That's right.
Because they were stoned and stupid and convinced that peer pressure was real and that they were leaning towards communism in the 1960s. Well, you know, and I was attacked a lot of other things, but carrying a gun and being a conservationist, eating venison and killing deer, these are two of the most perfect things available to mankind. And so at first I'm going, so, you know, the rock and roll DJs would attack me because I'm a member, life member, and on the board of directors for the mighty civil rights organization, the National Rifle Association. And even though I wasn't trained in debate, I was so disciplined growing up as a bow hunter, and my dad, you know, made me earn my guitar and earn my own way and do my chores and be an asset to the family. So logic and truth and common sense was always at the tip of my tongue and the tip of my fingers. So I would just crush these hippies with their stupidity. And I realized that in the 60s and 70s, this anti-American, anti-freedom insanity was metastasizing as I was doing more and more radio and TV and entertainment, rock and roll magazine interviews, and it just emboldened me. I didn't get deterred. I didn't kowtow. I didn't back down to that stupidity. I increased my, shall I say, cockiness and the truth, logic, and common sense crowbar. So once we saw what happened at Kent State, once we saw what happened in Chicago in the 68 Democrat, you know, communist riots in Chicago, and once we saw the lies of Vietnam, and once we saw that the CIA and the FBI and the ATF and the DEA were not only failing at their given responsibility, but they were counterintuitive. So I became louder. By the way, Ted Nugent is exactly what the Founding Fathers wanted every American to be, to distrust everything about the government and pretty much everything else, and to be a critical thinker and hearken back to the self-evident truths as enshrined in that sacred U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights. That's been my guiding light, and you see where we are today with this satanic freak and his gang infesting our government from the White House down. So, yeah, I've always been on the right track, and my critics have always been brain dead and anti-American. I couldn't be more proud.
Right, and the energy here, I want to jump around. And, of course, that's what happens when you talk to a Renaissance man, because there's so many parts of your life. And by the way, you were an oasis for people that are in the rock and roll world that carried guns and hunted and all that. You know, it was nice to have somebody back 20 years ago for me to talk to that I said, hey, I got a kinship with him. But I got to ask, I wrote this note down. I said, in your seventh decade, Uncle Ted, why aren't you, I mean, most people start jockeying recliners in their seventh decade. You seem to get more energy every decade that goes. Where does it come from? I mean, where do you, have you even thought about it, or is it just being you?
Well, Sean, first of all, isn't that precious? Isn't that ultimately celebrated when you take good care of yourself and you still have passions? I played my guitar this morning. I shot my bow and arrow this morning. I shot a squirrel in the eyeball for my Catahoula this morning.
Sweet.
I lifted, you know, 24 corn bags and protein bags to feed the wildlife here on Spirit Wild Ranch. I've been clean and sober, Sean, for 74 years. When you're clean and sober and you respect with reverence your precious gift from life from God, and you don't poison it, and you don't bend over like some soulless, spineless sheep to the so-called peer pressure lie of getting drunk and stoned, and that somehow that is a party. That's not a party. I'm a party. My hunting camp is a party. The Nugent family campfire is a party. Drooling and puking and embarrassing your family, that's not a party. So I've always been this way. My dad was a drill sergeant in World War II. And Sean, do you think some of that might have rubbed off on me? So my point is I get my energy from taking good care of myself
and
remaining focused. I consider my guitar playing to be a martial art. My band, again, I mentioned Greg and Jason. We have a brand new record called Detroit Muscle. And God help us all, Sean, that, you know, horny teenagers wish they could play with such piss and vinegar as me and my boys do, because we still channel James Brown and Wilson Pickett and the Motown Funk Brothers and Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry and Little Richard. We still celebrate that defiance, that uppityness, that irreverence, that fun, that sensuality of the founding fathers of American rhythm, blues, and rock and roll. So, you know, and I'm the master at taking naps. So I think, Sean, we can agree the greatest philosopher ever was Dirty Harry when he said a good man should know his limitations. And I am 74, and yes, I am energized, but it's because I eat really good. I eat wild game. You know, I was organic before the tofu idiots figured it out, and which, by the way, that's not organic. But my point is, at 74, I love every day God gives me. I thank God every day. I've taken good care of myself. My bandmate said when we were recording the new record, I think Jason said, if the 25-year-old Ted Nugent showed up, you'd kick his ass. Because I love it more now than ever. I'm more efficient. And again, I take naps. I think maybe that's the key, huh?
Yeah, well, maybe I'm going to try that. You know, I'm going to come back because I want to talk Second Amendment issues with you. But you brought up, you talk about how you eat and the people that are new to the sport. And as, you know, a fellow Fred Bear acolyte, I mean, I've got a picture of him in my office, growing up bow hunting and hunting, I see new people coming to the ranks. And, you know, you've been a big advocate for the outdoors and hunting like that and bringing new people to the ranks. What do you think about that? There's those of us that kind of grew up, you know, I've heard interviews with you. I did the same thing. I just was outside all the time growing up. That's all I did. But now there's these adult onset hunters and all that. New people come in the mix for food or whatever. What do you think about that new group coming in?
Well, I think that is epitomized in the last couple of years with this weaponized Wuhan virus that the United States government financed with our tax dollars to weaponize the communist Chinese virus. I mean, that's a subject of atrocity unto itself. If that's not treason, if that's not the most offensive crime in the history of the United States, or maybe the world, I don't know what is. But the point is that the propaganda ministry and the scum in our government somehow convinced a bunch of sheep to wear a mask and have an experimental shot, because it's not a vaccine. It's an experimental shot that the government has forced upon people who are weak and accepted that force, me not being one of them.
That's what I was going to say. And I could guess the answer, but you did not take the shot, did you?
I don't take experimental shots. You come at me with an experimental shot, I'll give you one between the eyes.
So that's a no. No, I think that's a no. Yeah. So
would be a negative.
That would be negative on that.
John, what you're getting at is that raised in a hunting family, my dad, my uncles, my brothers, my mom, my sisters, everybody, every hunting season was a spiritual responsibility to balance the herd, utilize with respect and reverence God's renewable wildlife resources to bring balance to the habitat, which is where quality air, soil, and water comes from. Unfortunately, no teacher has ever said this in a school in America, but you cannot have quality air, soil, and water unless you harvest the surplus of expanding wildlife populations every year.
Yep.
So in the scam of COVID and the lockdown atrocity, people's instincts kicked in, and more hunting and fishing licenses were sold in 20 and 21 than in many, many years, because that sense, that instinct to be self-sufficient, which is the hunting, fishing, trapping lifestyle, it kicked in even after being bombarded with anti-hunting propaganda from evil punks in our academia and media and Hollywood and big tech, you know, the fact checkers. What
right.
a joke that is. So, yeah, the instinct broils within all of us, and more people are waking up that there is no better nutrition on the planet than wild game. Hallelujah.
Yep. New ranks. New people into the ranks there. I got to ask you this before we jump off that subject. Your favorite thing, though, I get to have Ted Nugent on the show, so I get to ask this. Your favorite critter to hunt and how to hunt them. So what's your, if you had to just pick one, I'm not telling you have to, but in this fantasy, you're going to get one. What do you hunt and how do you hunt it?
Well, I hunt everything, and I hunt all the, like I said, I shot a squirrel in the eyeball this morning. My dogs are so happy. They're laying there completely worn out with a real smile on their face.
You still shooting that Matthews? You shooting that Matthews? What are you shooting?
I shoot a Matthews bow, but they're all good. There's not a bad piece of sporting goods in the world today. My goodness, this is the state-of-the-art efficiency and world-class quality. But, Sean, my favorite animal to hunt is whatever's broadside within 20 yards looking the other way. I don't care what it is.
I knew you'd do this to me. I wanted to hear, like, it's whitetails in Michigan or it's an axis deer in Texas. I'm going to shoot them with a bow, but you're going to say it's everything.
It is everything. Now, I do spend more time. I kill hundreds of deer every year. I hunt every day. We have a lot of doe tags, and in Texas we have management tags.
Right.
And I kill a lot of deer, and I donate tons of pure venison to soup kitchens and homeless shelters while I'm balancing the herds on my property and friends' properties. But I love ducks with the dogs. I love pheasants and quail and doves and woodcock and grouse. I love squirrels and rabbits. I hunt rabbits with a .22 revolver or my bow and arrow. I love trapping the coons, the possums, skunks, the bobcats, the coyotes, and the fox. I love all of it, but most of my effort, because the deer herd is so expansive that I have a responsibility to kill a lot of deer. So that's what I do mostly. And that archery stuff is such a challenge.
Yep.
Every time you decide you're going to shoot that deer or that woodchuck or that buck, every time you decide you're going to loose an arrow at a critter, you become samurai. It becomes out of body if you really dedicate yourself. And I find that to be extremely stimulating.
Hey, speaking of arrows, Uncle Ted, flaming arrows planned for Mobile? You got any? Can we shoot?
I'd like to think, Sean, that I am a flaming arrow. no, but there will be flames coming out of my ass, so people might want to bring some marshmallows. Sean, I don't think that's legal at the Soul Kitchen.
Okay.
I don't think the Matthews and flaming arrows will be coming out, but I promise you this. The music will be on fire, I promise.
Let's talk about this. Detroit Muscle. I mean, if I had to pick two words that described a rock and roll album, I think that's there. So talk about putting together this album and this tour. I mean, like you said, you've toured. Lord knows how many nights you've walked out to a stage, but I imagine it's incredible. You're still doing it. New album, new tour. Talk about that.
Well, first of all, I don't plan anything. I've been so fortunate because of my dedication and my work ethic, and the people around me are just the best in the world, Sean. My crew, oh my God, my crew are the best. They will turn every place into a soul kitchen, I promise you. my management, my entire team, my assistant Linda, who you've worked with.
Yep.
My family, we are all into work ethic and being the best that we can be. My band, every bandmates, I talked to my drummer from 1960 the other day. He'll be in Detroit with me next week. There is an effervescence, a spirit to killer music. And again, I reference the founding fathers, those black heroes, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, certainly Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, B.B. Yes. King, Freddie King, Albert King. The energy, the authority of the Motown Funk Brothers that literally permeated the Detroit musical atmosphere. In fact, the entire Detroit atmosphere as I was growing up. And that's still with us because there is a spirit to really powerful, killer, emotional, authoritative music. Everybody has a song that represents moments in our lives. Mm-hmm. And those musicians that create those sonic dreams, some of them go by formula. That pretty much describes most country music, which is why I can't stand it. But our favorite music, the soul music, the rhythm and blues, the rock and roll, whether you're talking ZZ Top or Van Halen or Grand Funk Railroad or Bob Seger or Kid Rock, it doesn't matter who we talk about, that we are all children of Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and Little Richard, just the uppityness, the energy. And so when I'm always playing the guitar in these killer grinding patterns come out every time. It literally is out of body. It's how I get high. I get into a zone playing guitar, and I'm playing licks that God hasn't authorized yet. It's an uncharted adventure every time. So when I accumulate all these new licks and songs, I call Jason and Greg, and I go, God, we got to meet in the barn. We got to capture this beast. And they're music lovers of the supreme capability, along with Michael Lutz, Smoking in the Boys Room, Brownsville Station, my co-producer, and all my team. They just live these soulful, energized music. And so what you hear on Detroit Muscle, which a lot of people are, it was number two in the world here recently, and people are going crazy saying it's my best record ever, and that's really, really saying something.
Yeah.
So what you're hearing is Jason and Greg and I putting our heart and soul into every lick, every guitar tone, every bass tone, every drum tone and part. We live this stuff, and if you could witness us in the barn recording this stuff, it's a different planet. Our feet don't touch the ground while we're pursuing the heart and soul of the songs, spirit and theme and groove being everything. So what you're hearing in 2022 from Ted Nugent is as raw and primal and honest and uninhibited, irreverent and genuine and emotional and dedicated as anything I've ever done from the Amboy Dukes to the damn Yankees through all these amazing years.
I'm glad you get high from those licks so we all get a contact buzz when we hear you do it. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. I gotta come back to Second Amendment issues here, and I got a lot of questions coming in for you as well. But you know, you mentioned being carried a gun your whole life. How many times have you committed a crime with your gun, Ted Nugent?
Zero.
Okay, just want to check. So you've decades upon decades upon decades, you carried it and never used it in a crime.
Nope, I've saved lives. I've saved my life. I've killed dangerous animals. I've killed a lot of dinner. I've balanced a lot of herds. But remember, I'm a guy that did 350 concerts a year for many years. And I would drive or I would fly, and I would have that gun on my hip everywhere.
So, I mean, what do you tell?
It's ubiquitous. Wherever you've seen me, it was not a gun-free zone. while I was there. I have a clean handkerchief. I got a pocket knife. I got a belt tool. I got some guitar picks. I got a chapstick and a lighter. I got reading glasses. I got my sheriff credentials. I've got my gun, and I got a bunch of ammo. I would feel like an idiot accepting the decree of being unarmed and helplessness. Let's make sure we draw the conclusion that unarmed and helpless is a ridiculous, irresponsible, dangerous choice. Don't do it.
You have an administration that says if you cared, you would do it. I mean, got an administration that doesn't know the basic workings of a rifle, but they do lecture us on who should have a gun in our society, right? Who should?
Well,
common sense.
If you can bear with me, because I'm just a guitar player, and
right.
I never went to any constitutional building of higher learning because they don't exist except in Hillsdale, Michigan. And truth, logic, and common sense irrefutably dictates that I not only have a right from God to keep and bear arms, just instinctively, just common sensibly, because the precious gift of life demands that we defend it and we protect it. Does it not? I don't even need an answer to that.
Right. Amen.
And so the founding fathers wrote it down in case some punk, Barack Obama, in case some criminal or abusing, oath-violating punk, Eric Holder, in case some satanic human hater, Joe Biden, come along, we can go back to that number two and go, hey, look, right here, it says this experiment in self-government was founded on the self-evident truth that we can keep and bear arms and defend ourselves. Here's the bottom line. I'm a free man. There is no man anywhere ever that can tell me if, when, or how I can defend myself. That is between me and God. Case closed.
Definitive. Okay, I have time for, I've got so many questions for you, but this one I think is great. John has done me better than I could come up with a question. He said, for you, Ted, what is the biggest myth about Ted Nugent, and would you debunk it? What do you hear? What gets in the media? What myth out there that you just go, oh my gosh, really?
Well, that's a great question,
yeah.
John. Thank you very much. Well, number one, there are no myths. There's just nasty, hateful lies. Let's go down the list, shall we?
Okay.
They claim I dodged the draft. Never happened. They claim I had a relationship with Courtney Love. Never met her. They claim my Snakeskin Cowboy songs is an offensive, homophobic song. It has nothing to do with queers. They claim I dissed the Native Americans. I have a blood brother bond, a spiritual campfire spirit connection with the Native Americans of this country. I've never dissed them ever. They claim I'm racist. I promote goodwill, decency, and content of character, never referencing color of skin. They are liars. You know why, Sean? Because they're helpless to debate me, so they have to lie and lie. And here's the bottom line. Everywhere I go, people could not be more loving. I have the most wonderful, positive, loving relationship with people of every color, every creed, every gender confusion, every walk of life. Nope, I meet the nicest people on the not-so-mean streets of this country every day. And when you look out in the audience at the Soul Kitchen, you will see the most positive, kind, smart, cocky, dedicated work ethic Americans every night at every show. I could not be more proud. When the scum of earth hates you, it proves I'm a really, really good guy.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, it is Ted Nugent, Soul Kitchen on Sunday night. New album, Detroit Muscle. And folks, what, the best website to go to, tednugent.com, or where do you send them?
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of charity work. I just signed another guitar this morning, and here's a little something for my haters.
Okay.
My name is Ted Nugent, and I have signed over 12,000 guitars, guns, bows, arrows, skulls, antlers, broadheads, 8x10s, you know, and I have raised, the stupid guitar player from Detroit has raised over $28 million for military, children's conservation, law enforcement charities across this country for the last 60 years. That's why the nasty people hate me, because I do really good stuff.
We can't wait to engage with you in person, get that contact buzz from that guitar on Sunday night, and celebrate all things American. Ted Nugent, as always, what a pleasure. I can't wait to see you Sunday night. And we got to do this again. We can't let 20 years go by between these talks.
Well, Sean, thank you very much. You and I are Truth, Logic, and Common Sense blood brothers, and I would welcome people to join me at HunterNation.org. HunterNation.org is a new nonprofit where we're circling the conservative wagons of this country to purge the satanic, Marxist, America-hating monsters that infest our government right now. HunterNation.org.
All right, he doesn't mince words. He's Ted Nugent. Thank you, man. I'll see you on Sunday night.
All right, live it up. God bless Alabama.
Absolutely. There he is, Ted Nugent. We're coming right. Welcome back to the country.